Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. Hey, welcome back to the In Hope Podcast. Today we are going to take a little journey and through 1 Samuel. We're going to look at a few chapters and actually take a lesson from the first king of Israel, King Saul, on how pride destroys unity, how it is the downfall of the kingdom. And so we're going to take some lessons from his life here. You'll want to, this will be pretty interesting walking through this, and maybe you guys see some things in this story that I am not seeing. And so if you do, let us know. We want you to be part of the conversation. Let's kind of walk through this together, but would love to hear your guys' thoughts on it as well. So looking at Saul's life, we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm a slow reader, so we ain't got time for all that. But we're gonna read a couple of verses, but just kind of doing more of an overview here, all right? And looking at his life, if you're not familiar with the story of Saul, this would be interesting. I'll just kind of give you some highlights here, all right? So Saul is someone chosen to be king in Israel by the prophet Samuel. The prophet Samuel is the last judge. You had Moses after the Exodus from Egypt. You had Moses. You had Joshua take over after Moses. And then after Joshua passed, the Israelites kind of went through a series of judges who would help to rescue them and lead their people, and not even always the whole nation, but sometimes just regions, right? And would help lead them. And so they'd went from one to another. And in the book of Judges, you actually see this theme, this phrase come up a couple of times in the book of Judges. And it says, "There was no king in the land, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And if you look through Judges, you're going to see, I mean, there's some pretty nasty stuff going on. You see that Israel is just wavering hard away from the ways of God. And so after the book of Judges comes to a close, you actually see 1 Samuel pop up. And this leads into Samuel, who's considered the last judge and one of the first prophets, kind of like a series of prophets that come after Samuel. So it's kind of that transition, because you go from judges to prophets and kings, right? And Samuel is the one who institutes the first king from God's direction, right? And so the people are asking for a king. Samuel says, "You don't want that. That's wrong. God's your king." And they're like, "No, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations," which always gets them in trouble. And this is what gets the body of Christ in trouble too often. We want to be like the world and be like other organizations and be like other things we're seeing, when our direction is supposed to be coming from the word of God. And so we need to first take that lesson, right? But Saul ends up becoming this king. God goes ahead and say, "Hey, give them what they want." That's a whole nother thing, right? Like, God has a purpose and a plan for us. We see here that God wanted to be their king. They didn't need another king, but they were asking and pushing for it. And sometimes God will allow us what we want, even though he has better for us. And so, and then we have to reap those repercussions. So he ends up giving them this king, and he selects Saul. Now, when he selects Saul, what's cool about this is you see something that could be a very positive trait in Saul, and that he doesn't think highly of himself. He does not think highly of himself. And what's good about that, what could be good about that, is that that could be humility. And I'm going to suggest that whether it actually was truly humility or not, it ends up playing more out as insecurity. And now we need to understand there is a big difference between humility and insecurity. All right. And actually it ends up being this dichotomy that we often see between these things, is that we get humility, insecurity, security, and pride all mixed up. So what happens is we think so often that when people are prideful, oh, they're really secure in themselves, right? and then we think when people are humble, we call, oh, they're insecure, right? But really what it comes back to is, well, let me get to that. So I'm going to start off by saying we see here all the way from the start that there's this potential of humility, but really there's a pride issue. There's a pride issue, and we're going to see it end up playing out and being the downfall. And so we see this because when Saul is told he's going to be king by Samuel, he speaks of, you know, how he's from a low family within a small tribe, the smallest tribe and the lowest family. And then when they go to actually crown him, to anoint him, he's hiding. Like, he doesn't want to be found. And and so he's hiding after he's already been told by Samuel. He's like, look, you're going to be the guy. And then so while they're revealing this to everyone, he's off hiding. Hiding himself, and then they have to go find him. And Saul ends up being anointed the king. He's chosen to be king. He's anointed to be king. And we see that episode play out where, you know, it could look like humility or it could look like insecurity. And I want to kind of give you more of an understanding of what I was going to say here with insecurity and pride and humility and security and how those play together. A lot of this comes back to how we end up valuing ourselves, how we believe we have value, how we end up seeing ourselves. And a lot of us base it off of what we can do versus who we are. And so a lot of this comes back to who you are versus what you can do. Your being versus your doing, all right? When you have pride as the foundation, you will often have insecurity as your what comes out above that, all right? So you have this, or actually, I'm sorry, let me reverse that for you. When you have when you have this pride, it's a mix that comes from insecurity. All right, so this pride will come from insecurity, and what's interesting about that is that we will often look at pride and be confused with that and call it security, but it's not. It's actually coming from this place of insecurity because everything is based off of what we're able to accomplish, right? And we're insecure because that can end up being fleeting. And so we have to guard that. Like, what you can do, you have to really guard. And that's why it will be so hard for people who are prideful to do wrong or to mess up in front of others, right? Because their whole value is based off of what they can do. So if they end up not being able to perform well, who they are becomes devalued. And so people who are prideful will have a hard time not being able to do something well, and they'll throw a fit, they'll point the finger, and all of this stuff, because now we're getting into their value. And so they have to guard that. Right. And so you have prideful people, and this is why they won't admit wrong. And this is why they'll point the finger and they'll get upset. This is honestly, a lot of times This is where poor sportsmanship, poor sportsmanship can end up evolving and becoming really, really big here, is because they're fighting tooth and nail to preserve what they can do, what they can accomplish. And so you have this insecurity as the foundation, and then it comes out as pride. So you think of like an iceberg, right? Insecurity is under the surface, pride is on top. And we'll confuse pride and be like, oh, that's confidence. But underneath, on the other side of that iceberg, the opposite would be you have security rather than insecurity, because insecurity is based off of what we can do, which is fleeting. Security is based off of who we are. That is more stable and unchanging. But what's unfortunate is that a lot of times we don't get to that because we don't know it. And then so we just go based off of what we can do. But who we are comes from our maker. That comes from who made us. He tells us who we are, right? And so we are what he made us, who he made us, because of who he is. And so when we know our maker, when we know God, our father, we know ourselves as his children, and we can have the confidence of a child of God who is loved, who is fearfully and wonderfully made, and who, no matter what we're able to do or not do, we are going to always be his. And he will always be our God, right? Because he doesn't change. And so our value, our worth, who we are, what was paid for on the cross, right? Within unmeasurable, unfathomable value, what was paid for there was who we are, not what we do. Right? He ends up purchasing us. He ends up paying for our sins. He ends up redeeming us, right? To be his children and to be part of the family of God and in the kingdom of God. And that is not, he did that. He didn't do what we celebrate, you know, come Resurrection Sunday and his Good Friday, and, you know, just what we celebrate when it comes to his life, death, and resurrection. That was not for, he did not do that to make sure, you know, that we can do and attain certain things in this world, which is what we usually measure off of over here. It's not off of what we can do, but he did it so that we could be his. All right. So who we could be, who we are. And so that security is more confident and sure because it comes from him. And then so on the top side of that iceberg is humility. I know, right? And so what's crazy is you have humility over here, which people will often get confused as insecurity. And then you have security down here. And then you have pride over here, which people will often get confused as secure. And so we have humility is based off of our security of knowing who we are and whose we are. And this pride comes from not knowing that and basing everything off of our value, off of what we can do. It comes from this place of insecurity because it's based off of what we can do, which is fleeting. And so Paul, I believe, works from this place of insecurity and pride. And so we end up seeing here, when you're doing that, when you're working from this place of insecurity and pride, Paul ends up being anointed, right? And one of the very first things that we see after him being anointed, at least actions from his behalf, is that he ends up getting others to follow him by threatening them. by threatening them. Look at this. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7 in chapter 11. It says this. And the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled. This is going to mess with some people's Theo right here. Right? So the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled. Let's talk about it. Join the conversation. He took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messengers, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man. So we see he ends up getting the army, he ends up getting people to come out and follow him by threatening them. This is something that you're going to get from people working from a place of insecurity and pride. You don't see his own son, John, get his armor bearer to follow him by threatening him or anyone else. You don't see David end up getting his people to follow him, getting people to follow him by threatening them. That is all. They do it voluntarily. But you will see this time and time again, not just from Saul, but you've likely seen, and you will see this from people today when they use threats from their position to get people to follow them rather than people following them freely because they choose to. And it could be threats of, I have this position and authority and I can, you know, I can cut your pay. I could take away your job. It's threats from on a social aspect of how they're going to make others feel and think and do. It's people work from a place of power and threatening others from what they can do in order to get them to follow them. They're working from a place of pride and insecurity, right? Because of their position and what they can do, they're working from that place of pride and insecurity. And so Paul, or Saul here, ends up doing this. And there's a couple things I want to point out, because I know this is going to mess with some people's Theo here. Number one, so when I say theology, right? When Paul here, or in verse 6, it says, the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words. Now, sometimes we think, oh, when the Spirit of God is on someone or is, you know, stirring in someone or whatnot, then they can do no wrong. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? I'm gonna leave it at a couple questions. One, are you sure about that? Two, have you ever known a believer who has, you know, shown a true believer, fruits of the Spirit and whatnot, but maybe they've done wrong. Maybe they've gone to a pastor who maybe in the heat of a message went a little too far with something that he said or did, right? Like, I'm just a question, all right? I would go to the side of people can actually err even when the Spirit of God is upon them, even when the Spirit of God is within them. Some of the reason why I would even say that is because in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking to people who have the Spirit of God within them, and he is rebuking them for not controlling themselves when they say the Spirit of God is moving through them and prophesying through them and speaking in tongues through them and all of these things. He's saying, look, the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. You need to control this, right? You need to do this in a righteous manner. And sometimes we feel a stirring because God is upset about something. God does want us to move, but sometimes the way we step out in it is not exactly how God wants us to do it. Like Moses hitting the rock, right? When God told him to go speak to it. So right here, verse 6, right? His anger greatly kindled. He ends up cutting this oxen, sending it out, threatening the people. And notice what he says, whoever does not come and follow after Saul and Samuel. He's leaning on Samuel a little bit here. We kind of see this with Deborah in the book of Judges. the gentleman that she says, hey, go lead the army, go lead Israel's people. And he says, I'm not going to go unless you go with me, right? And he leans on her to have the people come and follow him as well. And so he says, whoever doesn't come after Saul and Samuel. And then so the dread of the Lord fell upon the people. And so they all came out. So big thing from there, look, he starts getting people to follow him with a threat. That comes from a place of pride and insecurity. All right. Number two, because I don't want to drag too far out here. I want to try to get through this and wrap it up for you guys quick. This fear that he has, this pride, I should say, I'm sorry, this pride that he has acts from a place of fear. And you will see this in people who work from pride and insecurity. It's kind of one of those ways that you can spot that there's actually insecurity under here, under this pride that seems to mask it, right? One of the ways that you can spot that is because they're acting from a place of fear rather than a place of love and faith and hope and obedience. They're acting from a place of fear. And I tell people time and time again, when you boil down a lot of the motivation, the motive behind what we do, you can trace it back to one of two things. You can trace it back to fear, or you can trace it back to love, because love is going to be in here, right? Because who we are is based off of God's love, right? So it's based off of a fear, or it's based off of love. And so his actions, we see time and time again, come from a place of fear. Saul ends up acting out of fear. And how do we know this, right? Well, Saul ends up getting into a fight, right? And he ends up offering unlawful sacrifice is what it's called, right? And he tells Samuel why he does this. So in chapter 13, Saul ends up offering a sacrifice when he wasn't supposed to. He's supposed to be waiting for Samuel to do this sacrifice. And he ends up offering it. And this is not the last time that he ends up saying this and admitting that he was operating out of fear of the people. But he ends up offering the sacrifice because he says, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me. And I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself to offer this sacrifice, and Samuel talks to him about it, right? And so that's his first remark, right? But notice how he's pointing out, look, people are scattering from me. They're not choosing to follow me. They're not with me. I have this army coming at me, all these things that are getting him scared. And Saul ends up talking to him about it, and he ends up telling him, like, look, you did foolishly. You should not have done this. And later we see, so he ends up acting out of fear there. And then later We see him do it again. We see that it's, where is it? In chapter 14. Nope, chapter 15. Chapter 14 is where it happens. But chapter 15, Saul and Samuel are talking again. And in verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Right there, he hits the nail on the head. Look, I feared the people. I acted out of fear, and that's why I did these things against your words and the commandment of God. And that's not earlier we see that happen when he offers the sacrifice, and he's fearing, he's acting out of fear. And so pride will act out of fear. Don't be a leader who acts out of fear. Don't be a believer who lives and acts out of fear, because look, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? So don't act out of that. And that is part of this equation with the pride and the insecurity. And so that's where Paul or Saul is acting out of there, right? And we see, look, the reason why I say these things are destroy unity, they destroy the kingdom, because what we see happening here within the kingdom of Israel is really, it's an illustration of what we see even within our own lives within the kingdom. And this is, right, God's people. This is God's people. We can take these principles and we can say, how does it apply to God's people now? We can take what's happening here, say, how does it apply to God's people now and his church now? And look, King is King Jesus, right? But just like in here, the king was God, right? He was meant to be the king, right? But there are leaders that he puts within his kingdom. There are leaders that he puts over his people. He blesses us with pastors and shepherds and prophets and these type of things, right? And if we end up with teachers and evangelists and all these things, different leaders, right? All authority is given by him. People are given authority and leadership and influence. And so God appoints these things and sets these things even within his own church. And if we as leaders within his church, within his kingdom, underneath the king, leaders that he has set, like Saul, are acting out of fear, it ends up causing issues and crippling those that we're leading, which are the body of Christ, which is his part of his kingdom, his church. And so this fear and insecurity ends up crippling and ends up dividing and causing harm to the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God. And so here we go with, he starts with a threat, right? He acts out of fear. And then he starts thinking of himself before others. And this is where you really start to see, okay, this is crippling the church. The church may actually still continue to operate and get along, but we're not doing as well as we could, right? Where the how good it could have been is almost unknown to us, but we know we're not working at full capacity because people are struggling, right? And we see this when Saul ends up making this rash vow, because they're in the heat of a battle, right? And Saul ends up making this vow. Let me make sure I can find it here. Okay. Oh, hold on. I have to flip through my commentaries as well. All right. So he makes this rash vow in chapter 14. And we see his son ends up not following this. So let me read what he said at first. This is Saul's vow. And it says, I'm going to start from verse 24 in chapter 14. And the men of Israel had been hard pressed that day. So Saul had laid an oath on the people, saying, cursed be the man who eats food until it is evening. And I, right? Not the Lord, but I am avenged on my enemies. Cursed be the man who eats anything until I am avenged on my enemies. Curse all y'all until I get, like, if you eat before I get my victory here. And he ends up, it ends up saying later that his son Jonathan breaks this vow not knowing that his father made it. And then the people tell him that his father made this vow. And then it says in verse 29, then Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have become bright because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies that they found. For now the defeat among the Philistines has not been great. John is recognizing, his own son is recognizing, man, things would have went a lot better today. Man, things within the church, right? Things within the body of Christ been going a lot better if leaders were not acting out of fear. If leaders were not acting out of insecurity. If leaders were not putting themselves and their insecurity and their fear as the behind the actions and the decisions and the things that they're doing, right? And what they're saying. So that ends up crippling the kingdom here, ends up crippling Israel, and it ends up crippling true Israel today, which is the body of Christ. When leaders are acting out of fear and insecurity, and they're thinking about themselves, and they end up crippling the body of Christ. Let's not do it. Let's not do it. We end up crippling. We end up dividing. We end up sowing into dissension and disunity and allowing disunity and division because we're acting out of a fear and insecurity and a pride, and that ends up keeping us from doing much better than we could, as John points out here. All right, last bit here. I want to look at chapter 12, verses 13 and 15. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 15. So I'm just going to read this real quick and then we'll comment. And now, behold, so this is Samuel talking. And now, behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord, I'm sorry. And now behold the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. I wanted to point at this just as a reiteration and showing how when the leadership, right, is if it's working from this insecurity and pride, which we know is not of God, it's not following the commandments of God, right? And it ends up, we see here with Saul, it ends up causing him to go against the commandments of God and not follow the commandments of God. When we do that, we're making it susceptible for those that we're leading for it not to go well with them. For it not to go well, for actually for the hand of God to be against them in us. And we see that within Saul's life. We see that happen within Israel. We see it happen to them during this time of Saul's reign. And so we see it within David's reign. We see it within the king's following, right? We have the good kings and the bad kings, and we see how that plays out with the hand of God being against them and how well it goes for their nation. And we see that with our leaders today. We can see that within the church. And so, and I think it's so important and so good to hold on to as well. Sometimes, like, you can, we can still get by. Israel still got the victory over the Philistines that day. But remember what Jonathan said. Because of this acting in fear and insecurity, man, how much better it would have been, right? If we weren't making those decisions from pride and insecurity and fear, how much better it would be for the body of Christ, how much better it would be for your family, for your ministry, for the people that you're leading, for your community, how much better it would be if we're working from this place of humility and security based off of whose we are and who we are, being secure in that. So just taking this lesson from Saul, right? Pride ends up a downfall of the kingdom. It ends up hindering the kingdom. And so we don't want to work from this place of pride and insecurity. And how do you know it's pride and it's not like confidence and insecurity? Because again, it's coming from this place of insecurity based off of accomplishment and what is done and what we can do, not based off of who we are. And remember, who we are is not my job title and position. Who we are is based off of whose we are. So just a reflection here on this little snippet overview. We didn't get all the way to the end of Saul's life or anything, but check it out. 1 Samuel, right? Check that whole thing out. Transition from Samuel to Saul to David, and you'll kind of see these things pop up, and let me know your thoughts, be part of the conversation. Again, I'm sharing here, but I want to know, and I want this conversation to continue, and let's continue to talk about this relationship of pride and insecurity and humility and security and how this plays into, as you often hear on the In Hope podcast, humility is absolutely a necessity for unity within the body of Christ, and pride is a killer of it, right? And so we need to make sure that we're working from this place. And so I love to continue this conversation. Let me know what you're seeing here in this passage. If you're seeing it elsewhere, if you have examples, we're not trying to throw people on the bus and, you know, write people's names out there in your comments. But feel free to share some, you know, discreet examples and whatnot, and just let's talk about this, and as we do, let's encourage one another to be unifiers, to stay on this side of security on whose we are and who we are, and walking in humility to see the body of Christ grow and or strengthen the unity that God has given us. All right. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation, and invite others to this conversation.
And if you would like to be a part of our ministry moving forward, we would love to have you jump on our support team. And you can find that on the website.